your I encourage you to keep bringing your Bibles to church. Even though I put most of the scriptures up here on the PowerPoint, I'm going to start having you turn to some too, so we can start learning the books of the Bible. That's how you learn it. And so I want you to turn to John chapter 20 and Romans chapter 4 if you brought your Bibles, and I'll definitely be reading those scriptures here in just a little bit. And we're in a series called The Established Heart. These are all standalone messages if you haven't heard every one of them. We're talking about the seven major revelations that every believer should know. You got to have this not just as head knowledge, but as heart knowledge, and it'll help you in your walk with God. We've been on this series for several Sundays now. It's going to take us to the end of the year. But here were the seven major revelations every believer should know. The reality of redemption, the reality of the new birth, the reality of being made the righteousness of God, the reality of being God indwelt, the reality of the authority in the name of Jesus, the reality of the integrity of God's word. And what we're going to look at today is the reality of the God kind of faith residing in you. So this is what we're going to be looking at today. And our foundational scripture is in Psalms chapter 112. And this is verses 1 through 10. It says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established," and that's where the name of this series comes from, the established heart. "His heart is established, and it's established on the word of God. He will not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved, and he will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." And that's Psalms chapter 112. And if you, our main scriptures are verses 7 through 8, where it says that he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Everybody say the established heart. The established heart. We're going to talk about two kinds of faith in the Bible today. All right? And I'm going to give you a lot of scripture like I normally do. That's the teacher in me. But there's two kinds of faith that the Bible teaches, and what I'm going to make it real simple for us is it's either the Thomas faith or the Abraham faith. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you that what we want to have is the Abraham faith. And everybody said, amen, all right? Thomas's faith is found in John chapter 20. And so I want you to, and I'm going to read this out of the Bible. I don't have it on PowerPoint. And this is verses 24 through 29. By the way, I just got to say this, so the house can be unified again. I'm a big OU fan, and we got beat last night. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know this is, we got OSU fans here and OU fans here. And I had a friend of mine who's he's an OSU fan, and he told me, he said, "Mark, you do know that OU is in the Bible." And he said, "Jesus even said it." And I was like, "Okay, whatever." You know, and I said, "What?" So I fell for the joke, and I said, "What?" And he said, "Oh, you of little faith." And I had faith in Sooner Magic last night, but it didn't happen. And anyway, all right, moving right along. I'm still licking my sores from last night. It was a great game, though, great Bedlam series. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29 says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" So this is the Thomas faith. Thomas faith only believes what it sees. It's sense knowledge. It goes by its senses. And it says, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." And when I read this the first time, I guarantee every one of those guys jumped whenever Jesus said, "Peace to you." Verse 27, that's a joke, by the way. You can laugh. It says, "Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him," here it is, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those," and it's talking about us today, "blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Okay? And so that's the Abraham faith. The Abraham faith, or the Thomas faith, let me go back up just a second. The Thomas faith is head faith based on, and it's on the outward man. It's all about feelings, what you see, all those things, all right? Sense knowledge, your five physical senses. The Abraham faith, I want you to flip over to Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to show you the Abraham faith, and this is what we're after today. The Abraham faith, and this is Romans chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. So the Thomas faith is head faith, head-based knowledge, based on the outward man, based on our physical senses, what we can see. Here's the Abraham faith, verse 17. It says, "As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. He was 99. His wife was 90. In the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." And so that's Abraham faith. You can go on and read that in Romans chapter 4. But Abraham faith is heart faith based on the inward man. Okay? I want you to get this in your mind today, okay? Abraham was 99. Sarah was 90. And God said, "You're going to be the father of many nations." Do what? Okay? That don't make any sense whatsoever. And it happened because Abraham believed God. He didn't walk by sight. He walked by faith. Now, to get into this, the Abraham faith, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, it says this, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles," that's us, the blessing of Abraham coming on us, "in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." All right? So I don't know about you, but I want the Abraham faith, and I want the blessing of Abraham to be upon me and my family. Now, here's what the blessing of Abraham is. All right, and I'm I could spend, you know, going through the Old Testament and teaching you all this, but I'm kind of hitting the highlights. I encourage you to dig into this yourself. But here's Abraham's blessing. It's basically threefold. Number one, it's a spiritual blessing, talking about his faith drew him close to God. Number two, it's a physical blessing, health and healing, and everything that he had was healthy and whole. And then number three was material blessing, was financial prosperity. And everybody said, okay, God doesn't want us living in poverty. God doesn't want us to live in sickness and disease and all that kind of junk. Amen? God wants us healthy and whole. That's a greater advertisement to the people out there in the world than anything that you could do. But you got to develop this Abraham faith in you, all right? And some of you are dealing with some generational junk, all right? I've noticed somebody that I'm thinking of right now that, just for instance, they give their tithes and offerings to the Lord, all right, but they wonder why they're still broke all the time. And the reason why they're still broke, even though they're giving their tithes and offerings to the Lord, is because there's a poverty mindset there that God is trying to break in them. And it's a poverty mindset that's been there for generations. Amen? I mean, you can still do the things of God and still be in bondage, because your mind hasn't been set free. You haven't been renewing your mind according to the Word of God. And so, and I'm walking down these roads too with you guys. I want the Abraham blessings upon me and my family. I want those spiritual blessings flowing down to my children. I want the physical blessing of walking in health and healing. And also, but here's the deal. You can hear my voice today. It's kind of scratchy and everything, and I'm up here talking about healing. All right. It's just some practical stuff is we have to take care of ourselves. Amen. You can sit around and claim healing all the time, but if you're walking around outside without a coat on and in the cold, you're going to get sick, right? You got to use your brain, use some wisdom too. And I'll be honest with you, Dad even said it earlier, my wife's in here, the confession is I hunted too much this last week and I ran my body down because I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm 53, all right? Or 52. Is it 52? I can't remember. I'm so old now. I don't even know how old I am now. But I ran myself down, and Jada even warned me. Okay, if you're married, your wife, I promise you guys, your wife is like Holy Spirit Jr., all right? The voice of God speaks to your wife a lot. And she told me, she said, honey, you're going too much. You're going to run yourself down. Here I am, ran down today. No. God is good, though. He's been healing me up. I've been taking time off from hunting and saying I should have listened to my wife and not done these things. All right, so that's the Abraham blessing. Is threefold: spiritual blessing, physical blessing, material blessing. And what I'm saying is, the point I'm trying to get across with this, this is the threefold blessing that God wants to put on all of his children, because we're all children of Abraham, right? Father Abraham. But there's, as you go down that list, if there's one area that's lacking, God's not lacking, is there's something in you that you're going to have to renew your mind to. Amen? And it may take dealing with some generational junk or whatever, but God wants you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. And everybody said, all right, here's the deal, though. You can't receive Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith. All right? You must have Abraham's faith to receive it. Believe and receive, doubt and do without. Jada told me that one this morning. That's a good little phrase. Believe and receive is the Abraham way. Doubt and do without is the Thomas faith. Abraham faith, what it does is it puts the word of God first. The second thing that it does, it puts faith in God's word second, and then feelings come last. But what most people are doing today, a lot of Christian people, they're being led around by their feelings and their emotions, and you can't do that. That's not the Abraham faith, all right? If you're emotional about something and you need to make a decision, listen to grandma's wisdom and sleep on it. Take a day, pray about it, 24 hours before you do anything. A lot of people are making rash decisions and in life decisions, small or large, and it's all based on how they feel and their emotions. And then, you know, a few weeks later after they make that decision, it's like, those kind of decisions. So Abraham faith puts the word of God first, faith in God's word second, and feelings last. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Romans 12:3 tells us all that you couldn't get saved if you didn't have faith inside of you. And I'm talking God kind of faith. Whenever you got saved is when you heard the gospel, you responded to it by faith. God put that there already so that you would respond. So when you heard the gospel, when you got to the age of accountability as you got older, when you heard the gospel, that you would respond to it. So Romans 12:3 tells us that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. All right? Did I say that right, Taya? Measure? Measure, yeah. Because my daughter gets home after church, she says, Dad, you sound like a hick in the pulpit. Measure, measure. All right. So God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. All right? Now, what you do with that faith is up to you. All right, you can get saved, you're going to go to heaven, all right? But God wants you to get saved, but then live like heaven on earth. But you're going to have that Abraham faith to command those blessings to come, all right, the three. And so I'm going to give you just, and if you're taking notes, you can write down, I'm going to give you 7 steps to develop the God kind of faith or the Abraham faith, all right? 7 steps to develop the God kind of faith. And where that God kind of faith comes from is in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, when Jesus told his disciples, he said, have faith in God. And the translation of that, though, is in Greek, it should have said, have the God kind of faith, is what Jesus was telling his disciples and telling us. or the Abraham kind of faith, not the Thomas faith. But, and here's, if I could sum it all up, we're going to go through these seven steps. I believe that it's going to really help you in your faith walk because we're all in this together. But just to boil it down to this is you need to start getting in the Word of God, believing it, and then start saying it. All right? And then believe what you say. And it takes time for that to develop in you. And as you, I'll never forget the first time that, for instance, you know, healing is ours. That's one of the blessings. And when Taya was a little baby, and Jade and I had just gotten church together and was attending a church, thankfully, that was teaching the full gospel and everything that there is that we can believe for healing today. And our daughter was sick with a fever. And Jada said, honey, Taya's sick, got a fever. And we were in there in her little chain, on her changing table. I'll never forget this. Jada and I did what we heard our pastor say at that time. I'd never done this before. And he said, whenever somebody is sick in your family, lay hands on them and pray the prayer of faith. And so we laid hands on her and we prayed the prayer of faith. And I walked off because nothing happened at that moment. Nothing happened. I walked off and I was like, God, you know, I'm just activating your word. You said in your word, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jada was in there taking care of Taya, I think changing her diaper, putting some clothes on her. Jada screams, Mark, come here. And I thought, oh my gosh, what's going on, you know? And I run in there and it looked like somebody literally had dumped a bottle of water over Taya's head because her fever just broke and she was healed immediately, just like that. And that built our faith, I can't tell you, because we actually stood out that Abraham faith. We believed it, we did it, and we received it, and we said it. And it just was a huge faith builder. Also, if you get into situations, I'm going to say this before getting these seven steps, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You may get into a situation where you've been in the Word of God, you got faith, you know, you've developed your faith muscle, but you might get in a situation where you're like, OMG, you know, what have I got myself into? The Holy Spirit gives severally as he wills these gifts, and he can come with a gift of faith and put you over. And I've had that happen in my life a few times. And I cannot describe whenever the Holy Spirit comes and he gives you that gift of faith, it's like, come hell or high water, this is happening because God said it. You know, you just have that knowing in your knower that it's settled in heaven and on earth. All right, here's the seven steps to developing the God kind of faith. The first one is this, and you might say, well, duh-dee-duh, you know, some of these are going to be elementary, but we really need to revisit some of these. Receive Jesus as a developer of your faith. Now, what happens here is a lot of believers have received Jesus as their Savior, but they've never received him as the developer of their faith. And this is as you walk with him, he's going to start teaching you about how to use your faith and how to increase this measure of faith, this faith muscle that you have. This is in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In verse 2, it says, we're to look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus will become our faith trainer when we decide to live by faith. He's going to, I need a faith trainer. Jesus is your faith trainer, all right? And he will develop our faith the same way a trainer develops our body. Expect him to develop our faith every time we put our faith on the line. When we stand on 1 Peter 2:24 for healing, by his stripes you are healed. When we stand on Philippians 4:19 for our needs, according to his riches and glory, God's going to supply my needs. Or when we stand on Romans 13:8 for our debt freedom, where we can say, I'm going to owe no man anything except love. All right? Excuse me. So as our faith begins to grow, Satan's dominion begins to wane, and circumstances will yield and no longer look overpowering to us. And I'm just going to give you an example of this in the natural. There's more in you than you realize. God's put, I mean, he put that measure of faith there, and the God kind of faith is in you, and there's more in you than you realize. It doesn't matter your age, how young, how old you are, it's there, and God wants you to develop it. And God showed me this one time in my life, and it was a natural example. I'm going to flip this over to the spiritual, but in the natural, I was my daughter was, when she was in college, she was needing a trainer during her off season, and so I found a guy out of Elk City that trained athletes, and so then my daughter talked me into joining them in this faith training or this training deal, and we had some good times doing this. Well, this every gym, if you don't know this, but every gym that you attend has its little slogan or just the atmosphere of every gym is different. And so the atmosphere of this gym that we were at was there's a lot of meatheads in there. And there's guys that like to lift heavy weights, which is not a place where I should have showed up at. Because testosterone gets to flowing, and then I start telling Taya how good I used to be, you know, those kind of things. And all these guys are 20 years younger than me. You know, my trainer is 20 years younger than me. And I'd tell him every time, I'd make him laugh. I was like, dude, you're killing me. Remember, I am 20 years older than you are. You know, I know, Mark, but he'd always say, there's more in you than you realize. I was like, dude, I'm 20 years older than you are. And so this kept going on, and this guy was very persuasive. He was very encouraging, and he talked me into joining this. Dad came to one of my meets, but talked me into joining this powerlifting group, right? And I'll never forget this, but whenever I was deadlifting, for some reason, in my mind, as I was deadlifting, I could not break the 400-pound barrier, all right? In my mind, I was like, if I try to do that, my back is going to split, right? That was what was going through my mind. And this trainer kept telling me, Mark, there's more in you than you realize. Mark, you ought to be able to lift 400 and then some. That's what he kept telling me. And, at first I didn't believe him because I'm like, dude, when I grab 400 pounds, that feels heavy, very heavy. And so he started to teach me on the form and everything about deadlifting. And long story short, I got up to where I could deadlift 465 pounds was my last deadlift. Yeah, and I left some on the table. I think I could have done a little bit more. And so what I'm trying to tell you guys, it just showed me that I was walking out of the gym one day and I was thinking, man, I'm almost 50 and I just deadlifted 465 pounds, you know, and these guys, you know, were congratulating me and stuff. And I left her and I was thinking, you know, if it wasn't for Devin pushing me, Devin Weaver's his name, he may be listening to this on the radio. But he kept telling me, Mark, there's more in you than you realize. And here's what I feel like when I walked out of that gym that day, taking it into the spirit, is Jesus is telling each one of us there's more in you than what you realize. And you can do way more than what you realize, but you got to use your faith. You got to exercise your faith. All right, here's number two. Number two is give the word of God first place and make it final authority. Most Christians don't do this. You might give it first place, but it's not final authority. It has to be first place, but also has to be final authority. And this is Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. It says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So give the word of God first place and make it final authority. We won't turn to these two passages of scripture, but I'm going to give you a few more scriptures to look up later. But this is in Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 through 42, and this is the story of Mary and Martha, and it talks about how Mary gave the word of God first place, and Martha was ticked off at her because Martha was up doing all the serving and trying to feed everybody, and Jesus told her, Martha, Martha, you're worried about a whole bunch of stuff, and Mary's chosen the good thing, which is to sit at my feet and hear the word of God first. All this other stuff will take care of itself, I promise. But you need to choose. You need to choose to give the word of God first place in your life, and make it final authority. So, how do we give the word of God first place? And so, I'm just going to give you some things here. We must build our schedule around the word instead of trying to fit the word into our busy schedule. I've been guilty of that. You know, I love what Rick Renner says. Mark gave me a book that Rick Renner wrote one time called The Sparkling Gems. It's a great devotional book. And something that he says in his life, what he says, if I don't get in the Word of God, then I don't eat breakfast. I've got to get in the Word, then I eat breakfast to make myself, you know, he's disciplined himself to get in the Word of God. Then in Matthew chapter 8, you might want to write these in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. We read this a couple of Sundays ago, but this is the story of the centurion. And when he came to Jesus, and Jesus, he had a servant that was not doing well, and he was telling Jesus, he didn't say this, but Jesus said, hey, I'll come to your house. And the centurion said, I don't need you to come to my house. I just need you to speak the word. And Jesus was impressed because he said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And it was because the man put the word of God first and he made it final authority. So make what God says the authority in your life. Make it the final word even after all human reports are in. Amen. I wish doctors would not do this, but I feel like that they have to give you that bad report, right? Let me tell you something. We have generations of people that think doctors, they believe the doctors hook, line, and sinker, all right? They're just giving you a report. They're giving you their opinion. They're not God. Amen. There's only one God. He's the great physician. Thank God for doctors and nurses. You know, thank God that they... You know, they're going to tell you what's going on, but here's the deal. That's not the final authority. That's not the final authority. Doctors miss it a lot. They're not God. Amen? All right, so remember that. If you get a bad report, make sure God's got the final authority on this whole situation. Always ask, what does God's word say about my situation? If you're in a financial situation, whatever's going on, marriage, you know, job, your career, whatever, get in the Word of God, find a scripture to stand on. Then say, when you find it, you say, that is the final word on this issue. When the Holy Spirit reveals to you whatever that scripture is, that's the final issue. And everybody said, everybody learning something this morning? All right, here's number three, seven steps to developing the God kind of faith. Number three is continually feed on the Word of God. All right, yeah, we got full here a few days ago. Guess what? I woke up the next morning hungry, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, my gosh, I ate enough. On Thursday, I ate lunch and I ate dinner, and I went to the dessert table several times and had a lot of these, I think it was Colt that made these, it was like the Oreo balls, but it was the pumpkin balls. I don't know how many of those I ate. And I was by the evening time, I'm telling you guys, I was miserable. I was so full. The next morning, I got up and I was hungry. And the reason why I'm saying that is just because you came to church today and you're getting fed the Word of God, you need to get back into it tomorrow. Continually feed on the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The most important thing anyone can do is to feed their spirit on the Word of God in order to strengthen their faith. That is bigger than anything in this life. Amen. The Word is faith food for your spirit. God's Word contains proper nutrients for developing strong faith. I don't know how it works, but it works. If you're in the Word of God, your faith goes up. Fear goes out the door. God's peace comes. You're just walking in a whole different level. When you're in the Word of God, I know when I haven't been in the Word of God, because if I haven't been in the Word of God a few days, fear starts creeping in. Because you got to continually feed on the Word of God, you got to continually feed on it. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I encourage you. I love being your pastor, and I'm going to teach you the Word of God. But find you some other pastors and teachers where you can hear the Word of God. Driving or wherever. There's some great Bible teachers out there today. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I was talking to Mark Ward the other day, and he said, man, I've been listening to Robert Morris. He's been teaching on this subject. I was like, when he told me that, I was like, praise God, Mark's in the Word. He's hearing the Word of God. Because I know that when you're doing that, then fear leaves, and you have the peace of God, and your faith is increasing. Job 23:12 says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If your mouth will feed your heart faith when you don't need it, your heart will feed your mouth faith when you do need it. There's a hungry baby continually feeding. You know what? That doesn't bother me at all, because that's the sounds of life. Amen. Continually feeding on the Word of God. That little baby needs some, even needs some milk. But if your mouth will feed your heart faith when you don't need it, your heart will feed your mouth faith when you do need it. That's Job 23:12. All right, here's number four. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate. This just means to think deeply or focus one's mind for a period of time. Get you a scripture and just meditate on it. Let God speak to you through it. It's amazing all the revelation that'll come out of just one scripture. It's amazing how powerful and living and active God's Word is when you start meditating on it. In Joshua 1, verse 8, God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So what meditation does, meditation, I hate it that the New Age movement has taken a biblical word, but meditation is our word as Christians, all right? To meditate, to mull over, to think on the Word of God. Meditation in the Word builds your capacity for faith. It builds a greater image of prosperity in your heart. It expands your ability to believe and receive. It allows the Word to take root. And meditating is fixing your mind on God's Word. It's spending time setting your thoughts on the Word. It is a God-given process that produces a permanent change in your thinking. And everybody said, amen. Isaiah 26, verse 3 is a great scripture, and it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then how to meditate on the Word of God. Go to the Word that covers your situation. Apply that Word to the situation. Dwell on that Word until it changes your situation. Place yourself in agreement with the Word. Think about the desired result instead of the dreaded outcome. And the Word you meditate on will become the reality that you desire. I don't know why this came to me while I'm up here doing this this morning, but I feel like somebody needs to hear this, so I'm going to share it. Because in my own mind, I was like, oh, God, is that you? You know, because I didn't have this in my notes, because this is something very personal that happened to me. But something I had dealt with my whole life, and it had nothing to do with my parents, had all to do with it's what's going on inside of Mark Haney, but I dealt with insecurity really bad. And some men that are very prideful and arrogant, what they're really doing is just hiding insecurities. That's what they're really doing. Same with ladies too. But I wouldn't say I was prideful or arrogant. Somebody else may say that, but I was hiding a lot of insecurities, and I knew it, and it was just bothering me. And to the point where I was kind of running from my calling. I didn't want to. I'd rather be in the sound booth than up here, kind of a thing. And God saying, no, I want you teaching. You know, God was already calling me in the ministry, and I was feeling that, and I was battling that. I mean, the insecurities I had, God, I've never been to seminary. You know, I came up with all these excuses for God. And God was so faithful and so loving with me, and he kept bringing me prophetic word after prophetic word. And I love prophetic words because it's like they put wind in your sails, you know, to believe and have faith. And I was getting prophetic word after prophetic from people that don't even know me and know my situation. And it was healing those insecurities that I had, you know, and I was starting to feel like, oh, God is with me, God is for me, and all these things. But I was still battling it. And to the point where I knew that it wasn't healthy. I mean, I knew that, God, this ain't right. I mean, I don't know where in the world this is coming from, but it's, I mean, if this is a demon, let's cast it out. You know, let's get rid of this thing. Because I want to be this is going to sound weird, but I feel like I want to be comfortable in my calling. I want to know who I am in Christ and not just battling this insecurity all the time. And and I think why I thought of this is when I saw little baby leave Haven is one day, and this is so sweet and it's very personal, and because I was battling up here in my mind when I thought of it, I was like, Lord, I don't know if I'm supposed to share that. And I kept feeling like, no, he's saying you need to share this. But I spent some time in prayer, some extensive prayer, meditating on that I'm supposed to be secure in God, you know, eternal security. And I'm supposed to be secure, and I need to be secure in my calling, who I am, so I know what to do. And I can remember there was one time I see my daughter sitting over in this when she was a little girl, and she was at home, and I went to her one day, and I told her, I even told my daughter, I said, honey, pray for your daddy, because I had to go do a funeral. And I was scared to death to do this funeral. I mean, it just felt insecure. I don't have the words to say. So I go to my daughter, honey, will you pray for me? And Taya's praying for me, very sweet little prayer. And she goes, Father God, be with Daddy in what he's called to do. I was like, God, through the mouth of babes, God's speaking, you know. And I went and did, God was with me and everything. But I was battling this, and nobody, I wasn't sharing. I mean, Jada knew. It was about the only person that knew, and I was battling this, and I was like, man, where is this coming from, God? Why am I battling this? And I'd spent some time in prayer, extended time in prayer about this. And one day I was sitting in, I can remember I was in my den at this house that we lived here in Leedy. It's just so, so sweet how the Holy Spirit deals with each one of us. And I was talking to him about it. I was like, God, I don't want to be cocky in my calling, but I want to be secure in my calling. I'm tired of dealing with this insecurity. And I said, I don't know why I feel like I need to know where it came from, because I don't remember dealing with this, you know, growing up like this, like it's coming out now. And so the Lord opened something up to me, and I know my mom's watching right now, but my mom was a teenager when she became pregnant with me. And my dad was a teenager as well. And the Lord showed me that my mom had went through a lot of insecurities carrying me as a child. And that's where, I don't know how that happened, but that's what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And I don't know what, but it gave me a whole new appreciation for my parents and for my mama for carrying me when she was a teenager and going through all that kind of ridicule and stuff and the shame and stuff sometimes that comes with some of those things. And for, I don't know, God just put a spotlight on it. And guys, I'm going to tell you what, that day I got delivered from insecurity because I knew where it came. I don't know why I had to know where it came from to get set free, but that's just what God revealed to me. And what I'm trying, what I feel like the Lord is saying through this is there's some of these things that you're, you know, because I was trying to walk by faith with God, but I was dealing with insecurity so bad that it was hindering my walk by faith. And God's like, God doesn't want you to be hindered by anything is what I'm trying to say today in this walking by faith. And some of us are dealing with things that happened a generation ago or two generations or three generations that we're dealing with. And that's something Jay and I have prayed about in our home. You know, most of us in here, you don't know past your great-granddad, you know, but you're still dealing with stuff four or five generations ago that's been passed down. And we want to cut those things off because I want to be a blessing to the next generation. And everybody said, amen. I'm looking around the room here, and there's many of you in here that have cut some things off that are not being passed down for another generation. And everybody said, I mean, I pray that helps somebody this morning because I really feel like I need to share that. Here's number five. Number fifth step is act on the Word of God. This is a big one. Act on it. James 1, verses 22 through 25 says, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continuing in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. So exercising your faith builds up your faith muscles in the same way physical exercise builds up your natural muscles. And expect Jesus to develop your faith anytime you put your faith on the line. And so James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Healed people should act healed. Amen. Prosperous people should act prosperous. Let the redeemed say so, whether or not you feel like it or not. Here's what he's saying on this act on the Word of God. Faith must have corresponding actions. If you're believing for it to rain, go get an umbrella. Amen? Amen. Every one of us in here need to go wash our car tomorrow or today so it'll rain. Okay? We got to start doing things because we need rain right now. Faith must have corresponding actions. In Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it says the paralyzed man was dropped through the roof. His friends had faith, and so they went. They couldn't get him inside the house. They couldn't get him in the door, so they tore a hole in the roof to let him down in. And it says, when you go read that story, it says, Jesus saw their faith, and their acting on the Word of God was visible to Jesus and all that was in the house. And if you go and read that story, that man was healed. Because faith had, there was that corresponding actions. They knew that if we get you to Jesus, you're going to be healed. All right, here's number six. This is one that you need to, as a spirit-filled believer, you need to do. Pray in the Holy Spirit. This is Jude 1, verse 20. It says, there's only one chapter in Jude, by the way. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Edify means enlarging of a house to augment, enhance, and improve. So to charge your faith like a battery, faith boost, and whenever you sense your faith is in a weakened condition, just spend some time praying in the Spirit to build yourself up in your faith. All right? That's something a lot of believers don't understand. And if you don't understand about praying in the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to go read the book of Acts. I could teach on that for a whole other series. I may have to do that next year about the language of heaven. But if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, God gives you that utterance. So that's for you to edify yourself, to build yourself up. And it's like charging a battery, that faith boost. We all need it. Okay, here's number seven. Continually give God praise. This is Psalms 34, verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And if you want to enlarge your faith, cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. We just come out of Thanksgiving. It shouldn't just be a one-day thing. It should be an everyday thing. Giving God thanks. Praise and thanksgiving are mighty affirmations of faith. What we do between the time we pray and see the manifestation is crucial. That's when you give God praise and thanksgiving. After the amen of your prayer, you need to continue to thank God for the manifestation of the desired result. And it will happen. Praise and thanksgiving. Because your word is true, I thank you and give you praise for my answer before I ever see it come to pass. And so what thanksgiving does, it carries the ball downfield. Is something we did not do last night. Thanksgiving, oh gosh, I got to get delivered from last night. Thanksgiving carries the ball downfield. Psalms chapter 67, verses 5 through 7 says, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So praise and thanksgiving, what they do is, if you'll start incorporating this in your walk by faith, when you're praying and believing God for something, praise and thanksgiving supernaturally compress the time it takes to receive the answer. Supernaturally compresses the time it takes to receive the answer. That's what praise and thanksgiving do. They also produce greater results. And I love what Jerry Savelle says. He says, the depth of your praise will determine the magnitude of your harvest. And that is so true. And you need to bring, sometimes you're going to have to bring that sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And God sees that. And God honors that. And everybody said, did everybody learn something today? Okay, good. Everybody going to walk by faith and not by sight? We're going to have the Abraham faith, not the Thomas faith. Amen. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I always do this every Sunday, and most of you here know that. and for those that are watching online, those that will be listening to this on the radio, and going to lead you into that, making that faith commitment. And Romans 10 tells us how to do it. Well, you believe and you say, and that's that Abraham faith. Romans 10 says that we're to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer called the prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them, okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, and if that's the first time you prayed that prayer, the very next thing that you need to do, next step of obedience, and it doesn't matter how young, how old you are, if you've never done it, you need to do it, is it's follow the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that next Sunday. And is everybody going to go home and take a nap today? I'm going to go home and take a nap. But everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Okay, it's been a blessed, and we're coming up to Christmas. I can't believe it. Babe, will you come up here, and we're going to have everybody stand up in here, and I want to speak this blessing over you. I have a lot of people ask me where this blessing comes from. It's actually an extended version of what's in the Bible out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26 that I found one time, and I just liked it, and I believe in speaking blessings over God's people because there's power in blessing. Amen? All right. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, walk by faith.